All right, I hope you're ready. I think I'm ready. I know Jesse's ready. Our tech guru, Jesse Feiler, is here this morning as we discuss the wild worlds of blockchains and cryptocurrency. Get ready. Jesse is an app developer, an author, and consultant specializing in small business and nonprofit organizations. His most recent books are The Nonprofit Risk Book, Finding and Managing Risk in Nonprofits and NGOs, written by Jesse and Gail Naowith, and Learn Computer Science with Swift. His most recent apps are Cyber Continuity, a free app to learn about your vulnerabilities, like I need that, and the Nonprofit Risk app, a companion to the aforementioned book. Jesse, always wonderful to have you here. Thank you very much.
Good to be here.
Now,
Thank you.
So we're talking about, as I mentioned, we're talking about blockchains and cryptocurrency. Now, what I find fascinating is I want to begin by just bringing this to your hometown. You hail from Plattsburgh, New York, and you can tell us, you can summarize easily, I believe, summarize how what's going on in Plattsburgh with these technologies.
Okay. Oh, just with these technologies, you don't want to hear about the other things.
I always want to hear about the other things, but don't step on Pat's toes.
But we can't talk about some of them.
Yes.
But no. What happened is the city of Plattsburgh most recently passed a law imposing a moratorium on mining of bitcoins in the city for 18 months.
All right.
And Pat wrote about that, and it made a number of newspapers, in addition to WAMC, some lesser media outlets covered it, including the New York Times.
Okay. This made national news because this community blocked the mining of bitcoins.
Well, it made national news because it's a hot issue and because Plattsburgh has a special feature that it doesn't apply to the other cities. I put a number of articles up on the website champlainarts.com because they show what's going on. The idea behind bitcoins, you're up to date on what bitcoins are, right?
I thought I did, and now I'm not really sure. But go ahead. How do you mine them? What does that mean?
Bitcoins are, this is a new currency that is, people describe it differently. And some people don't know if it's the next chapter in the Bernie Madoff scandal or if it is the next big thing.
Right.
Lots of money has been made off it and
and lost off of it.
And
right.
Lost it, yes. So we don't know. But what's interesting about it is it's a digital currency that is highly encrypted and that the key thing that matters is that it doesn't exist. You can't see it anywhere. You can't have one. But in order to use it, you have to use what's called a blockchain,
okay,
which calculates the value of a specific Bitcoin by, to really oversimplify this drastically.
Thank you.
To calculate the value of a Bitcoin, you start from zero, and then you add up every transaction for that Bitcoin that's happened.
Okay.
Ever. And that takes, and it's all encrypted, and it takes a great deal of computing power. So the response time so far on these is rather slow.
So why am I not buying it or converting it into a currency as opposed to mining it?
There are various reasons for cryptocurrencies, and the ones that get, I think, the biggest play are the reasons that go back actually to the underlying technology, the blockchain, which is that it's encrypted and no one can see what you're doing.
Okay.
So if you happen to not like the idea of control of a currency, as is done by a central bank, if you don't like that idea, you are off that particular grid.
This sounds sketchy. It just sounds sketchy. It sounds like this is I'm working with Lou, who's going to help me with some offshore banking so I can pay off my dealer in Zimbabwe.
No, I don't think Lou is I think you've got the wrong Lou. This is Lou in
lieu of?
Yeah, this is Lou in Montana.
Okay, all right.
But no, yes, it does sound sketchy, and perhaps I described it sketchily because I described it very quickly. But when the Common Council in the city of Plattsburgh debated this moratorium, and the council chamber was full to capacity, and Pat Bradley has a good article about it,
yeah.
People standing room only. When they debated that, this issue came up, not surprisingly. People said, you know, that it seems sketchy. Who are these people? People coming from the outside, doing something here that we don't understand, and so forth. And some of the people involved in Bitcoin mining said, this is the next big thing. It's, in a way, it's could be considered a replacement for databases. And it's being used by major financial institutions, big businesses, technology companies are using this. This is the next big thing, the underlying technology.
Now, let me just pause you there for a moment, because I'm having trouble grasping with what actually is being done physically within the confines of Plattsburgh that would make them, because this seems to be technology-based, where you could do it anywhere, it wouldn't have to be done in Plattsburgh. So it's where the actual center is? Is that the issue?
What it is there's an enormous amount of computation involved in calculating bitcoins.
Okay.
And the calculation is being done by computers.
Okay.
Big surprise. And the calculations are so intense that the computers are chugging away, throwing off a lot of heat, and taking in a lot of electrical power.
Okay, so they're using cheap power?
Plattsburgh has some of the cheapest power going.
Oh, so they're coming in to do this.
That is what.
Aha!
And so if you look at some of the articles that I posted, you will see that there are other places in the country where Bitcoin mining is happening, and people are coming in from the outside, and they're reclaiming old buildings like old mills and so forth. In Plattsburgh, there's an old wallpaper mill. There's a lumber mill, I think, in Oregon that's mentioned in one of the articles. The mills, big spaces, open spaces where they can ventilate it and where there's cheap power. In the Northwest, when you go to Montana and so forth, you're talking about hydropower. In Plattsburgh, we are using hydropower, and the wrinkle that we have in Plattsburgh is that I'm trying not to overcomplicate this. I'm losing. But the wrinkle that we have is our power is very cheap. It's hydropower, and it comes through what's called a preferred power program in New York State. And we only have a certain allotment of that cheap power. And what has happened is that the few miners that we have now are using so much power that we're going over the allotment. It drives everyone's electric bill up.
So in other words, also there's some freelancing here, that if I want this mining done for my business, then I could ship it out and say, okay, Plattsburgh company, you do this for me.
You see, there's three aspects to the mining process. One is the people who want to do the mining themselves, and they get a computer and they plug it in someplace with cheap power and good ventilation. And so those are the data miners. Then there are the people, and there are some in Plattsburgh now, who are offering this service so that you can ship your computer to these people and they will plug it in and take care of of the care and feeding of it. So we have the people who are profiting directly from Bitcoin itself and people who are supporting the Bitcoin mining industry.
Now, I think I know the answer to this, given how you started this off, that Plattsburgh is blocking this. But
Moratorium.
Temporarily blocking,
yes.
Correct?
To study it.
Okay. So how does Plattsburgh get in on the gravy train here? How do they make money?
That's what they're trying to figure out.
Okay.
Because, and about 10 years ago, we looked at the possibility of attracting data centers to Plattsburgh because we have this electrical power at a very reasonable rate. And what we noticed is we got rid of that project very quickly. I was on a citizens group because they don't employ many people. So that's the question. If we have the cheap power, what can we do so that it supports the city and the people?
Right.
And right now it's sort of negative because it's using up the power allotment.
So please forgive me if I'm putting the cart before the horse here, but it just seems to me, so two things come to my mind immediately. One is that other people, before Plattsburgh gets its act together, other communities that have semi-cheap power say to themselves, oh, well, we can do this, and we can invite these people to come, and let's get on this because we figured out how to make money off of it. That's one thing. The other is, at some point, some of these tech companies figure out how to do this using less power so that it's not as much of an issue, and that's not one of the criteria they need to move to a place.
All true.
Okay.
And this is, we're on the cutting edge here, or as we like to refer to it, as the bleeding edge of technology. Is the price of calculating bitcoins going to come down from a technical side? Probably yes, except that the structure of the bitcoin cryptocurrency increases that price so it stays supposedly about stable. But we'll see what happens there. Will the computing resources be able to process more efficiently? Yes, that has happened from when the first computer was invented, the price of computation goes down.
I don't want to get too much in the weeds here, but what is there about the process of mining bitcoins that takes more power than any other computing that goes on? I mean, it would seem to me that there is enough technology out there that would use a tremendous amount of power equal to this.
What takes the power? It's just an enormous amount because every transaction is encrypted, and the whole chain of events, everything is encrypted. And if one of the attractive things about this is, and this is where databases come in. So the three things that I mentioned that we're doing, we have some people who are actually mining bitcoins. Yeah. We have some support people. And there are some people who were at the meeting last week, I think it was, who are interested in the blockchain part of it. And blockchains, people are looking at possibly as a replacement for databases in a certain area. And the place where I find the blockchain very interesting is the encryption. But it's a very specific thing, but it's interesting to me.
All right.
Forgive me.
Yeah, if it interests you, it interests the world.
In a database, one of the problems that we have with the database is knowing that the data is intact, that it hasn't been meddled with. And a standard thing when you're designing a database is in every record you put in some value, some field that says this is the date on which the record was last modified and this is who did it. So each record has very clear indication of who touched it. So if the database has been modified, you can see that right away. And just about every database has this sort of security built into it. However, the fly in the ointment is that you have to build this in. And the blockchain technology, for reasons that we are not going to get into.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're more than welcome. You don't have to do anything. If the data has been touched, it will be visible. Not because you put in something there that says this is when it was last touched. It's because the nature of the chain is such that the chain breaks if the data is touched.
We are talking about blockchains and cryptocurrency with our tech guru, Jesse Feiler, this morning. And it is it's fascinating because we hear so much about Bitcoin. My curiosity, though, is also, given what we know about this cryptocurrency and what we know about the sort of up and down nature of it, is this all strictly legal at the moment, and will it remain so?
Yes, and who knows?
Okay. So it is legal now, but who knows what the future will bring?
Yeah, I would imagine. I was talking to a friend of mine. I used to work at the Federal Reserve Bank of New York.
I never knew that. Yeah. Did you? Yeah. For a long time? Or
8 years.
All right. It was long enough.
I was chief of the Special Projects Division of Systems Development. And I had various other titles, but that was... And one of the things that we dealt with was the open market operations and all of the manipulations of the central bank. And it's sort of interesting, really interesting. And I was talking to a friend, and our guess is, neither one of us knows for certain, our guess is that somewhere at the Fed down there on Liberty Street, or in systems development, in fact, there are people working in this area trying to figure out, among other things, how do you manage the currency for the country if some of it, like a lot of it, is siphoned off into cryptocurrencies. And that would be a wonderful project to work on.
Now, isn't so, because we talk about the dark web and all of this, but doesn't that play into it? I mean, if you have another underground currency, doesn't that screw everything up?
Didn't I just say it would be an interesting project to work on?
Well, yes, you did. I just think it would be of great concern as to where that goes.
My guess is, and I know nothing about what's happening now in this area.
No, I understand.
My guess is that the people who are concerned about how to manage it and so forth, those are the management types.
Yeah.
Who are wonderful people. And the people who are trying to figure out how to make it work are the technical people, and who are also wonderful people, but a different breed.
How to make it work, and also how to make it work for us so that they can get in on it too, right?
Well, how to make the whole thing work. And the issue of the blockchain and the idea of it being able to be a database that reveals automatically that the data has been touched, that is of significant interest to people who want to ensure that they are dealing with real data. And one of the examples that was given recently in an article, and I don't think this is posted there. Yeah, no, it is posted on the web. One of the examples is a company like Apple might really want to know the ID number of a SIM card. You know, that's the thing that goes into the phone that
correct.
Has your phone number.
Yep.
They would really like to know that number is correct for that physical device.
Mm.
That's an example. That's not an example of thousands of dollars of Bitcoin. That's an example of, you know, a few hundred dollars at most. But making certain that serial number is correct and has not been monkeyed with. And that's the sort of thing that database fanatics like me really get excited by. Sorry about that.
No, I understand. So what do you think Plattsburgh is going to do? As you say, it's a moratorium. It's a give a couple months.
They're studying it.
Yeah.
And they will do more research.
Does that seem like a logical approach, number one? And number two, are we seeing other communities across this country with similar power availabilities faced with the same issues?
Yes. The similar power, very few communities have the exact same power situation that we have, which is the very cheap power with a specific limitation of the amount of cheap power we can draw. Because if we go over that, the lights don't go out. If we go over that, we buy power on the open market.
Okay.
So it's not like we have this enormous hydroelectric dam in the backyard and we can just, you know, take the power out of the water. Here it's a finite but very inexpensive resource, which brings up, this will be the last technical thing I throw out.
All right.
Have you heard of The Tragedy of the Commons? It's a great show.
Okay, I've not heard of this.
It's about sheep. It's actually the idea is if you have
Tragedy of the Commons, ever heard of it? No? Okay, all right, go ahead.
If you have a finite resource like a commons where you can have the sheep grazing, it's very good for everyone. Everyone grazes their sheep there and it's fine. But if someone realizes that they can raise a lot of extra sheep there, then that spoils it for everyone.
Sure.
That's the idea of the tragedy of the commons. And that's the issue that is different for the city of Plattsburgh and versus almost all other places. It's because we have this finite resource of power, but if you take too much of it, the rate goes up for everyone.
So there's concern there, of course.
There's concern there. And it has to be managed. And it can be managed, but it's...
Is it bringing jobs to the region?
That's what they're trying to figure out. They would like it to bring jobs to the region. But if you look at the articles, I think there's one from BuzzFeed on the website. There are a couple like that. There are descriptions of meetings in these other communities where they're talking about Bitcoin miners coming in and what people are saying and what the concerns are from the Bitcoin miners and the concerns from the citizens. It's almost exactly what's in Pat's article and what I heard last week.
You can see
the same thing.
You can see Pat's story. It's online, WAMC.org, and on the news page. Jesse has put all kinds of articles up on his website at ChamplainArts.com. ChamplainArts.com. And it spells out this whole issue and what's been going on, not only in Plattsburgh, but some basics about the entire world of blockchains and cryptocurrency. In the 2 minutes we have left, does the average person... Let's put aside the argument as to what Plattsburgh is doing, but on the for the average person listening to us right now, are they going to be using Bitcoin?
I don't know if they're going to be using Bitcoin, but they are going to be using blockchains.
Okay.
Not directly. The things like SIM cards and so forth.
Yes.
That the attraction of a database for certain purposes that is totally encrypted and that reveals automatically changes to the data, that's very attractive.
Second question. Will the average person listening to this who should be concerned about blockchains, will they know that they're using it?
From my point of view, from a technologist, if you want to use the term, who is more interested in people than computers, I would say that if blockchains are used successfully, you won't know you're using them.
You just do it.
Because I go so far as to say, if you're using a computer, you won't know you're using it.
It's a fascinating topic. You can find out more by going to ChamplainArts.com. ChamplainArts.com. Jesse does tremendous work there by putting up all of the links and talking about what we've discussed here in the program and giving you some guidance as to what we're talking about. And it's a fascinating subject. It is blockchains and cryptocurrency. I didn't get to Apple and Microsoft. So they're going to get in on this too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So why not?
And one of the things in the meeting that was sort of interesting is that bringing in the big shots, you know, big corporations saying they're using it, so it's here, that didn't go over terribly well. Because corporations and banks and so forth don't have good reputation right now, but it'll all sort out.
Well, it's fascinating. It's all happening in Plattsburgh, and Jesse's our Plattsburgh correspondent, besides Pat. Jesse, thank you very much. Always great to have you here. Thank you. Jesse Filer provides consulting services to small businesses and nonprofits. Again, his website, ChamplainArts.com. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.